Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
I want to start off and jump off into the happy, happy, happy series. And y'all are smarter than most congregations. You already knew happy wasn't really all that, really about happy, happy, like you think happy. But I want to talk to you today. I want to lay a foundation for the rest of the series. And if you're new, I normally preach, take a topic, and we'll be touching on that topic through three or four messages. And it's kind of like putting a piece of puzzle together. You kind of get the full picture when you put them all together. So if you ever miss, I want to encourage you, even if this is your church, you can always go back to oursaviorschurch.com, and you can go click on Opelousas Campus, and you can always catch up if you miss something. I know we have a lot of people who work in oil industries, and they're in, they're out. And just want to remind you that you can do that. That means you can put on your earphones. I can go to work with you in the morning, and you can listen to it on the way to work, and I hope you're going to be blessed. And so I'm excited about this series. I'm very happy about this series because it's about happy. And I want to talk to you because I know that you know happy is probably not what you think it is if you've been around here long enough. Here's the question I want to start today by asking you. Again, I'm just giving you the preview. Our next three weekends, we're going to build on top of this today, the foundation. But let me ask you this question. What do you want? What do you want? We all want something. We all want something. There's usually a reason why we want the something. Usually we think it will make us happy, or happy. If we get what we wanted, we think it will make us happy, or it would make us happier if we got just what we wanted. And you ever got what you really wanted? You really got something that you really wanted only to find out you really didn't want it after you really got what you wanted? And then after you got what you wanted, in fact, some of us are still paying on the credit card for what we really wanted. And now we don't really want what we really wanted because we found out after paying on the credit card what we really wanted was not what we really wanted. Now we really don't want it, but we can't really sell it to anybody else because there's other people who don't want it either because now it's used. They don't want what we wanted because we've already taken what we wanted and used it. Now they don't even want it anymore either. So now we're still paying on something we really wanted only to find out that we really didn't want it. Anybody ever been there? Am I the only one in this house? Yeah. Yeah, you go, you thought it would bring you something that it never really brought you. And I want to ask you that question. In fact, when you leave today, I want you to think about that question is what is it that you really, really, really want? And you're going to find out as we go through this message, there's many things we wanted in life that we found out that we really didn't want it after we wanted it. And we're stuck with what we wanted that we don't really want. Everybody tracking with me so far? Yeah. Let me show you something in the Bible, Psalms 97:12. And you'll like this verse. It says, may all who are godly be what? Yeah, I want may all who are godly be happy. So clap along. I wrote this. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel that happiness is the truth. That's from me, by the way. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about happy, because happy, and there is a theology to happiness, there is a doctrine to happiness, there is a, if you will, commandments for happiness, there's a church of happiness, the first church of happiness, so it has, this church of happiness has its own sermons, has its own podcast, you can listen to it, it's usually called Culture, and if you can listen to it, in fact, If there really was a church of happiness, I'm going to give you some of the sermon titles that you could hear on its podcast if you would listen to it, the Church of Happiness. And it would say things to you like this, or here would be some of the sermon titles. Whatever makes me happy must be right. Whatever makes me happy must be right. Or here would be another sermon title: whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. Whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. Y'all remember that old song? If loving you is wrong. There's some old people up in here now. I don't want to be right. If loving you is wrong. Sheryl Crow, who's also an artist, a musical artist, she wrote a song, and I'm just quoting her, so don't be mad at me. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, then why in the hell are you so sad? Why? Because we usually get what we want, only to find out it's not really what we wanted. And because we think it will bring something to us that it can't really bring. We think that it'll bring us happiness, and we just keep getting. I was talking to one of the men after church today, and he was saying, "Thank you, Pastor Eugene. That was a great message." And he said, "I have lived that life that you just preached about today. I kept thinking I could get more. And the more I got, the more I found out that I wanted something else because I just kept getting the latest and the greatest." How many of you know that marketers, that's all they do is really, they just keep coming out with the next greatest thing because they know there's this desire in you. It's already in you. It's a nature in you that once you get what you want, you're going to find out it's not really what you want. And you're going to want the next thing. Are y'all tracking with me so far? You're going to want, that's why they keep coming up with new versions of the same phone. Because they know once you get the one you got, eventually they're going to have one that you're going to want even more. So you're going to keep promoting over. How many of you know this one, I don't know, this is about three generations ago. How many of you know it still works? I can still call, text, email, which I really wish I didn't have to carry that. But how many of you know you just keep going until you just keep getting feeling? How many of you know there's no meal that satisfies you completely? You're going to get hungry again and you're going to want another meal. There's no night of romance that satisfies forever. There's going to be another. Are y'all tracking with me? There is this desire that you're always going to want something else. And the enemy will use that against us. And so whatever makes me happy must be right. Whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. That is from the Church of Happiness. That means, here's another sermon title from the Church of Happiness: discomfort, delay, risk, suffering, inconveniences, and obstacles can't be God's will. Discomfort, delay, risk, suffering, inconveniences, and obstacles can't be God's will. Now, I'm going to show you a passage of Scripture. It's just a preview of next week. In fact, Jesus is going to give, the greatest preacher who ever lived, is going to give, we're going to look at it next week, the greatest sermon he ever preached next week. But I want to give you just kind of the preview verses of before he preaches the message. I want to just give you this because I want you to hear. There's something in here for us to grasp before we get into next week. I want to show you Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing, what's this word say? Huge crowds. Huge crowds. Now, let me just tell you something about pastors. Pastors love huge crowds. We love them. In fact, one of the reasons why it took us so long to go to three services instead of having two services to go to three services, because I liked it when this service was jam-packed. I like it. You don't like it, but I like it. Because you know why? You don't like sitting by each other. Go ahead and look to the one left or the right and go, If you got an empty seat beside you, it's because you didn't want to sit right next to somebody. How many of you, when you go into the theater, how many of you, you don't look for, where's somebody? Oh, there's somebody up there. I'm going to go sit right. How many of you, anything like that ever happened? Like there's an empty theater and somebody comes and sits right next to you. You're going like, what, dude? What's your problem? Give me some, what? I need some room. So ministers, preachers like huge crowds. The people don't like the huge crowds. They want to be able to come in and have a little space, a little worship space. They want to have. So watch what Jesus does. Pastors normally go down when there's a huge crowd. Jesus is going to go up when there's a huge crowd. By the way, we set our record, our second biggest Sunday ever was last Sunday, Easter Sunday. We had 2,219 here at the campus here. Hey, the only time we had a bigger one was when Tim Tebow was here and me. I think it was more me than Tim Tebow. Okay, watch this. When Jesus, we set the record for our Savior's church as a whole. I said 12,000 in the earlier service. I was wrong. It's 11,700 at all four campuses over Easter for the glory of God. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, so he's got these huge crowds, and Jesus goes, and he, I love this word, climbed a hillside. And those who were his apprentices, or those who were apprenticed to him, that would be the disciples, his disciples, I love this, the committed climbed with him. Here's what I'm asking you to do for this series. I'm asking you to come up higher. We're going to do some climbing. We don't like climbing. Climbing is usually strenuous. It's hard. It's hard. How many of you have ever climbed anything? You've ever climbed a mountain or gone on a long hike and climbed? I don't know about you. A hill is all I ever want to do. I'm not interested in mountains. I have climbed a mountain, Heidi and I, together with some other couples on a retreat. They said the retreat was such a nice retreat. It was a couple's retreat years ago, and they brought us, and they said, isn't this wonderful? 5-star food, incredible accommodations, incredible teaching, marriage seminar. Oh, we felt closer together. They said, hey, tomorrow we're going to climb a mountain together, and we're going to climb the mountain, and it'll take a couple of hours, and then there's a plateau, and it's lovely. We're going to have lunch up there. It's going to be as couples. We got to have about halfway up the mountain, and I'm going, I don't like mountains. And then we get all the way to the top, and we have a nice lunch, and the whole time I'm thinking, it took us 2 hours to get up here. The whole time I'm not thinking about this beautiful lunch and the beautiful plateau on the mountain. You see the little animals out there, and it's gorgeous, and the birds and the chirping and all this stuff. I'm thinking, what goes up must come down. How many know coming down is harder than going up? And so we did that, and I go, that's it. I'm done with mountains. I'll do a hill, but I'm not doing a mountain. Jesus said, no, I'm climbing up. I'm asking you to climb up. It's going to be hard. Yeah. It's going to be strenuous. It's going to be hard. And he says, the committed did what? You going up? We're going up. Yeah. Let me show you the next verse. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said. Greatest sermon ever in the history of earth is about to come forth in verse number 3. How many of you want to know what he says? Go home and read your Bible. I'll share it with you next week. But here's what I want you to say. How many of you know he's about to go into a series that we would call the Beatitudes? Now that's a big word, the Beatitudes. They start like this. Blessed is he. And then he goes on to fill in the blanks. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. And he gives 9. Blessed is he. And here's what he meant by blessed. The word blessed is actually a Greek word that says this, supremely blessed, more than happy. I want to be happy. That was never God's intention for you to be happy. His intention for you was to be more than happy. Are you happy? Are you happy? Here's what I want you to hear. In between the huge crowd and blessed or happy was hard. You had to climb. If you want to get to happy, you have to go through hard. I wish it was another way. I just met a young couple that I married some months ago, and they're out here in the hallway after the 8 o'clock service, and she's with child. And you ought to see her. You know how those first mamas are? Everything. I mean, it's just everything so bad. Oh, how are you doing? I can't sleep. I can't eat. All I want to do is eat. I can't sleep. All I want to do is eat. I'm just getting up in the middle of the night. And I just looked at her and said, baby, if you want to get to happy, you got to go through hard. If you want, listen, there is no marriage that you saw that was a good marriage that you looked at and said, I want to get, they won the lottery on their marriage. No, no, no. They were just willing to climb up the hard places in order to get to happy. That's all they had to do was climb. They had to go through hard to get to happy. No one wins the marriage lottery. Nobody, you saw a family with incredible kids. They didn't win the kid lottery. You got a devil, they got an angel. No, they're all devils when they're born. They're all devils. Can I get an amen from the parents? They're all devils. Yeah, they're all devils. They all got a demon in them. How many of you know, you didn't just get great kids. No, you had to go through hard in order to get to happy. You don't just see a successful business and you just see the end chapters of it. You're just reading the highlight reel. You don't see the early days when they went through hard to lay out the right principles in order to get a successful business. They had to go through hard in order to get to happy. You got to be willing to climb. Only the committed were worth climbing. And I'm asking you to take this climb with us because we're going to climb up beginning next week to see what Jesus really meant when he said blessed and more than happy. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank him. He's going to help us. If God wants me, listen, we had children. We have children. Let me just tell you something. I didn't like homework as a student when I was in school. How many students just dislike homework? But let me tell you what's worse is having your own student, a child, who has homework. You think homework was bad when you was a student. Wait till you're a parent and your student has homework. I'm going to. Somebody said preach. Yeah, all of your children are different, and you know your kids are different. If you have multiple children, if you just have one child, you're not even really a parent yet. How many of y'all with me? You got to have at least two. You got to have two, and then it's man on man. You know, each one takes one, but then you really get into the third. When you get to the third level, you have more than two. You start getting three. Then you got to start corralling kids. You know, when there's one, you can share. When there's two, each person gets a kid, and then when there's three, you got to go to zone defense, right? You just go zone, and so we had three, and then homework. And of course, we were blessed. Hillary was our oldest child. She was studious. She would come home. She would go, Hillary, how's it going? Great. Where are you going, baby? She'd come home from school and go, oh, I'm going to my room. I got homework to do. And you go, oh, we got this. How many of you know the Lord's good? He doesn't give you all three devils. He only gives you a couple of devils. And so Hillary, she'd go do her homework. We loved that, appreciated that about her. And then Hannah came along, and then she was kind of 50-50. Like, I got homework. Oh, good day. It's a good day. And then the next day, she goes, no, I'm good. You got homework, baby? No, I don't know. I ain't doing it. No, you're doing your homework. And then William comes along, the third child. He grew up. Praise God. William, it's cool. This is cool. Yeah. He said, I could go for it. It's cool. And then William comes along, and he's like, you got homework, William? Yeah, they'll do it later. How many of you know you're going? No, you're going to do your homework. No, I'll do it later. I ain't got that much. You know, no, you're going to do your homework. No, I want to play. You know, they want to go video game. No. You don't go video game, then homework. You go homework, and then you get to do the video game. And they go, no. See. You got to help them. You got to say, listen. Here's the deal. See, the reason why you have to do your homework. I know you don't like it. But in order to do homework, because if you do your homework, you get better grades. You get a good grade. And if you do your homework, you'll know better what's on the test. And if you get what's on the test, then you'll pass the test. And if you pass the test, then you go to the next grade. And if you go to the next grade and keep doing your homework, you keep going to the next grade. And if you get good grades, someone's going to want you to come to their college. And if you go to college, then you're going to get a good education to prepare you for your future. And if you go to a good college, so you can get a good job. And the reason why we want you to get a good job is so you can get out of our house and get off of our payroll so you can go live your life and mama and I can go back to honeymooning like we did at the beginning. What would a play fit? He wanted to go to happy. You don't get to happy without getting through. You got to go through hard to get to happy. Everybody wants to skip the hard. You can't skip the hard. God doesn't skip the hard. Does God want me happy? God wants you blessed. He wants you more than happy. He wants you blessed. What am I saying? He didn't put us here to pursue happiness. God put us here to pursue Him. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence, let me tell you when I know God doesn't want you happy. When I know God does not, does He always want me happy? I know when He doesn't want you happy. Let me tell you when He doesn't want you happy, when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise, He doesn't want you happy. When it causes you to do something wrong or unwise, let me rephrase it. When it causes you to do something sinful or something stupid, He doesn't want you happy. I'll never forget Heidi and I were newly married, and she always had a junky car. Like when we were dating, it was junky. It was always breaking down, and then mine was worse. Hers was junky, and mine was worse. And then we get married, and we have a junky car. We took the least junkiest of cars, and then we thought, you know what we want? What we want? You know what we want? We want a new car. And so we would dream. I mean, this was sick. Now that I think about it, this was sick. We did this probably half a dozen times. We would go to dinner, and then after dinner, we would go to the car dealership after dinner, after they closed. And we would look inside of the window with an ice cream and look at the new Honda car, Accord, and say, we want that. Oh, one day we're going to get one of those. Oh, you know that new car smell? Oh, I can't wait. One day we're going to get rid of this junky car, and we are going to get one of those because we want it, because it will make us happy. Well, about a year or so goes by, and we walk into one of those dealerships, and we go sit down with one of those people, and salespeople there. If you're in the car business, that was a joke. We love the car business. Praise God for the car business. But they have to sell stuff, and it's a hard job. And so they're selling, and we sit down, and they can figure it out. They can get you in that car. There's a way. And, you know, they do your income, and we didn't make very much money, and we couldn't afford very much. And never answer the question, what would you like your payments to be? You just told them. You gave them. You just showed your cards, right? And so we didn't know. We said, we want our payment at $199, whatever it was. And we told them what our payments could be. And then they said, okay, so we'll have to spread this out, but we can make it fit. So you'll be paying this car for the next 72 years. It'll be your car. We'll spread it out. Oh, we're like, oh, so we can get the car? Yes, y'all can get the car. And we got the car, and we're driving down the road, and we are happy. Happy, 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 happy. Smell that car, baby. Smell that. Smell it. Smell it. Oh, drive so smooth. AC works. It's not janky jank. And we're driving down the road, and we bawling. I put my seat back, roll down the window. We bawling. And we're driving down the road. And then, I didn't know this, but like 30 days later, they send you a bill. They want you to pay for it. And then they do it every 30 days after. How many of you know it was about 3 months? We got what we wanted to find out it wasn't really what we wanted. And now we couldn't get rid of what we wanted because nobody else wanted it to pay the price that we paid for it. Now you're what you call upside down. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. It was the last new car we ever bought. It was way back then. We learned from our mistakes. But does God want me happy? Not when it's going to cause you to do something unwise or stupid. He doesn't want you happy. Here's what I've found to be true. Good feelings don't always lead to good choices. Amen. Good feelings don't always lead to good choices. But good choices will always lead to good feelings. Let me say it again. Good feelings don't always lead to good choices. God wants me to be happy. Some of you walked away from a marriage thinking just that way. God wants me to be happy. You weren't willing to go through the hard to get to the happy because you thought the goal was to be happy. Come on, you've eaten the cake before, haven't you? It looks so good. You ate the cake, and then when you got home an hour later, you go, why did I eat that? And how many of you passed the cake up and got home and went, because I'm happy? No, you did the right thing. Some of you have been dating, courting. You've been dating, and you think, we're in love. We're in love. We feel. Hey, we're not married, but God will understand. Good feeling. And then you go too far, and you walk away, and you go, why did we do that? Because you got what you wanted, only to find out it wasn't really what you wanted. Yeah. So, now, we end up worshiping at the altar of happiness. It's when it's only, when God doesn't want you happy, when it's only based on the things of this world. I read this the other day. I thought it was really good. Better possessions. Here's what people think. If I had better stuff, if I could just have peaceful circumstances, some adventurous or thrilling experiences, if I could just have the right relationships and the perfect appearance, then I would be happy. Now, just think about that. Better possessions, peaceful circumstance, thrilling experience, right relationship, perfect appearance, then I would be happy. How many of you know, ain't nobody happy. If that's what it takes to be happy, nobody's going to be happy. What is it? What is he saying? He's saying to us, listen, there's this want and desire in all of us. It's always going to be there. Let me just share this with you. James, the brother of Jesus, and you might have grown up thinking Jesus, Mary didn't have any other children. That's not true. James, in the Bible, who wrote the book of James, was the brother of Jesus. James doesn't even become a believer in his brother until after Jesus is resurrected from the dead. How many of you know if you had a brother? How many of you got a brother? And if your brother said to you he was the Messiah, how many of you know he'd have to raise from the dead in order for you to believe him? Right? You go, man, he's the devil. He ain't the Lord. He's the devil. And you'd have to, and listen, James didn't just not have to believe Jesus. He probably didn't believe his mother either, Mary. What do you mean? Come on, we've all asked the questions. Mama, When did y'all think about having me? You know your mom and they'll tell you things like, well, we didn't plan you, baby. You was an accident. You was an accident. How many of you were accidents? Yeah. Y'all know. How many of you know there are no accidental children in the kingdom? No accident. There's accidental parents, but there's no accidental children. It was the wine. So, I'm sure James, okay, y'all meant to have me? Yeah, Joseph's my daddy. Yeah, Joseph's your daddy. Okay, well, what about Jesus? Well, Jesus is a little different story. Well, what do you mean, Mama? I mean, when did y'all get married? Well, we got married on February 7th or whatever date it was they got married. When was Jesus born? Well, he was born, and he starts doing the math. She was pregnant before she was married. Mama, Jesus, the math ain't adding up, Mama. Well, Jesus was premature. That's why. He was premature. He was a preemie baby. James didn't just have to not believe Jesus. He had to not believe his mother, too. The Holy Spirit came upon me. Yeah, right, Mama. And then Jesus resurrects from the dead. Watch what James, 2,000 years ago, is now saying to us. He's reaching into the future. And he's talking to us. I think this is more profound today than ever in history, his words. Watch what he says to us, this brother of Jesus. Don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. In other words, what he's saying is, God is not ever going to tempt you. God will never tempt you. That's not his MO. He's not a tempting God. He'll never tempt you. But what he says, the temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame, I love this, but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Let me say it a different way. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-ups of our own wants. I want it. And the reason why I want it is because I think it will make me happy, and you end up following that trail only to find out that it really doesn't make you happy. In fact, you resent it. You regret it. I love, well, let me read on what it says here. Let me finish. Lust, or our wants, gets pregnant, and it has a baby. Sin. And sin grows up to adulthood and becomes, read that with me. Yeah, some versions say it leads to death. I love this. You go, well, that's, James has given us a little hyperbole. Murderer. I've never murdered. You know, there are people who murder to get wants. You watch the news. Somebody murdered somebody because there was something they wanted. You go, well, I would never murder somebody to get something I wanted. But I can just tell you, wants can kill things. Some of you have got the scars. You've got marriages that were killed because there was somebody who wanted something. And they weren't getting what they wanted. It's killed business deals. You didn't get the right percentage, so you walked out of the table because you didn't get the right percentage because you wanted more, because you wanted something to do with the money you were going to make. And killed a deal. And some of you have regrets over deals that have been killed in the past because of our own wants. Family harmony has been killed because of our wants. Friendships have been killed. Listen to me. Ministries and churches have died because of leadership that wanted more and was willing to even compromise in order to get it. Because we think if we get it, it will make us happy. You go, well, God, so Pastor, you. I love, back to the NIV version of that. He says, you get dragged away by your wants. Dragged away. Have you ever been really doing good with God, and then all of a sudden you get dragged away? Just dragged. You go, Pastor, you says, God want me happy? God wants you blessed, which means supremely blessed, which means more than happy. Does that mean we won't ever get sick or won't ever lose a job or never get the zit before the prom? Things will always go your way. God will say yes to every prayer. You'll get your dream house. No, that's not what it means. There's still going to be pain. Still going to be storms. There's still going to be times of weakness. and you're still going to walk through some trials. But here is the promise of what blessed really means. When you walk through pain, he promised that he will comfort us in pain. When you walk through storms, he promised us there would be peace in the midst of storm. When you walk through weakness, he said his strength will become enduring your weakness. And when you walk through trials, he'll bring joy. You'll be able to find the joy in the trial. That's the promise of God, and that's what it means to be happy and blessed. Watch this. Here's what I want you to hear. Fish, yep, there's a, Heidi and I walked down many beaches through our life together, holding hand in hand, sunsets. That's her. You're amazing. Thank you, baby. I just want you to picture it. And you know, you see a fish on the beach. How many of you know that fish on the beach? Is that fish happy? Is the fish happy? The fish ain't happy. And it doesn't matter what you do. You can put a pile of cash at the fish's fin. You could bring in a beach chair and sunglasses. You could put suntan oil on the fish, and will the fish still be happy? Will it be happy? No. You could bring in a martini and a Playfish magazine. Wow, look at that tuna. Was it going to be happy? How many of you know that fish is not going to be happy on the beach, is it? Why? Because it wasn't made for the beach. It was made for the water. Look at me. Let me read this quote from Max Lucado, the Christian author. You weren't made for earth. Moments of happiness and joy cannot compare to what's ahead of you. Lower your expectations of earth, but not heaven. And I would add, raise your expectations of what heaven will be, because there's no new car, there's no new wife, there's no new baby, no new boat will give you the joy that your heart really craves. Isn't that good? Lower your expectations of earth and increase your expectations of heaven. No eye has seen, the scripture says, and no ear has heard what's in store for the righteous ahead of you. It's all coming. Amen? Let me finish. Let me take you back to that first verse I read to you, Psalms 97:12. Let me put it back up. May all who are godly be happy. Let me read the rest of it. May all who are godly be happy in the Lord, right? Delight in him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You don't even know what your heart desires. That's why you keep wanting things and finding out what you want. It is not what you really want, because the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above everything else. You keep getting dragged away by the next iPhone or the next house or the next car or the next pair of shoes. Keep getting driven away or dragged or the next relationship. Now, did he just go there? Yes, I did. You keep getting dragged away. No. Delight in the Lord. May all who are godly be happy in the Lord. If you'll be happy in him, then he says, I'll bring all these other things to you, because I know what you need before you even ask it. Let me bring it to you and give it to you instead of you going and get it yourself, and you're still paying the credit card bill for what you didn't even really want. Watch it. May all who are godly be happy in the Lord. And watch this, I love this. And crown him. Crown him. Did the Father already crown the Son Jesus when he sat at the right hand of the Father? Answer, he's already made him Lord of all. He is the Lord of all. But each of us individually have to go to a crowning ceremony where you make him your Lord. You remember when you played checkers as a kid? Remember when you got those multiple jumps? booyah, and you got to the other side, what did you say to your opponent? Crown me. Crown me. And then they took another piece, remember, and they had to do what? They put it on top. Listen, there has to be a point of all of our life where you got to pick up the crown and you got to put it on top of his head and say, I crown you. You're the king. You're my king. I put the crown on you. There has to be that day that you crown him. Then everything becomes different. He's the king, and you're not. And he'll know what brings you joy and happiness. Go after it. Keep getting dragged away, and you'll keep coming right back to this message until you take the crown and you put it on his head and go, you're the king. Would you bow your heads with me? I just want to pray for you. I want to ask you this question. Lord, Holy Spirit, come do what only you can do right now. What is the thing that keeps dragging you away? Holy Spirit, would you just, for us who are believers, would you just point that out to us? It might be a relationship, a job. It may be ambition. It may be something keeps discontentment instead of being content with what God has given us. Lord, what keeps dragging us away? Put your finger on that. Every believer's heart, I pray. Now with every head bowed, Christians, would you pray? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today you can crown him. You can make him the Lord. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He's already come to pay for your sins. All you have to do is ask him. The Bible calls it being born again. Have you been born again? All you have to do is A, admit you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Jesus came to die on a cross to pay for our sin, our shame, and our guilt. He's the penalty payer, the substitute, our bill payer. He paid our bill, our debt. And C, just confess him as your Lord today. I want to pray for you if that's you today. No one's looking at me. If that's you, say, I need to be born again. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to crown him today. I want to pray for you. Just say, Pastor, you please remember me in this prayer. Would you just hold your hand up high all over this building right now? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, and 4. I see your hand. 5. I'm looking in the balcony. 5. Thank you. Thank you. 6, 7. I see your hands. 8. Thank you. Congregation, I want us to pray with each one of these. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place to pay my penalty. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart today and be the Lord of my life. I crown you today. I make you my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God praise for that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.